Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation, Steve, and all around the world. Here to encourage you today is the producer himself, the one and only, gel and all, Pat Hamilton.
No gel. But I am here.
It still looks good, though.
It still looks good.
Wonderfully well.
Still looks good.
Very well presented.
And he's looking sharp today. And, of course, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. My goodness, I'm excited. The weather has changed. I am glad that there's no rain outside.
There's no rain.
There is no rain. I don't want to see water for a long, long time. But I love the sunshine and the open sky. There's something about driving and walking in the open sky. When I was in New Jersey, New York, you know, I saw building upon building, you know what I mean? It's like, where's the sky? I want to see the blue sky. And I remember that fly into the Gulf Coast, the first thing that I noticed, I mean, the first thing, as soon as I got out of the plane and just was just the open sky. I mean, obviously I saw it in the airplane, but when you're in the ground and just driving, you're like, oh, it's blue. It's blue and the sun is out. It's kind of grayish and murky up there, but you know, hey, you know.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, kind of murky. But hey, here we are. We have an exciting program for you today. We're going to be talking about so much. We're going to be talking about, hopefully in today's program, no other name but the name of Jesus and what is happening, in fact, in New York City. Pretty exciting. Some awesome things about that. Also, there is a new movie out, Pat.
Another biblical movie,
and this movie is about David. It's awesome. I mean, it's awesome. The producer, these guys, they're saying, hey, listen, we want to keep this as biblically accurate as possible. They filmed this movie in Morocco, and it's going to be, based upon what I'm seeing and what they're sharing, it's going to be incredible. Now, they've made other movies about David before, miniseries and things like that, but this is, my understanding, a motion picture film, and it's going to be pretty, pretty exciting. Also, in today's program, we're going to be talking about the sufferings for the cause of Christ, a deeper perspective. Steve's going to be sharing about that, and we're excited about that. You know, sometimes you're like excited about that. Well, yeah, I mean, if we don't learn how to suffer for Christ, when suffering does come in greater dimension, you've had no practice. You're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know what to do. So you better practice now. Okay. You better get that understanding and a revelation. We're also going to be talking about how Jesus, the captain of the host, is not taking applications, but he is taking commitments. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to break that down for you. And we have so much more to share. But, you know, right now, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but Hillsong did something that was pretty pretty cool and pretty amazing right there in New York City, Times Square. And we'll have a picture related for you on the torch. But it's one of the buildings there in Times Square. They all have these huge screens on them. I mean, the picture clarity, Chris could appreciate this. I mean, this is like super duper HD. I mean, on a huge building, and these screens, Jumbotron screens, look so bright and crystal clear. I mean, they're just amazing. Motion picture. I mean, just like, you just, am I in a movie theater, an outdoor movie theater type of thing? Well, one of the buildings, you've probably seen it on ABC News or Good Morning America, one of those programs. They have the NASDAQ. It's kind of the NASDAQ building, and it has a whole bunch of kind of windows in it, and it's a curved building, if you will. Well, you see a lot of ads there and a lot of different things that pop up. Well, what just happened is that Hillsong took over Times Square's digital billboards in New York City. They took them over.
Oh, really?
Now, this is, like, huge because there's a lot of other stuff that's, broadcast there in Times Square. It's like, okay. But they took it over, and this happened in the previous month. But what they were doing was promoting Jesus and no other name. It was a campaign because they have an up-and-coming album and a conference. That's their theme for their conference and their new album. And they're the worship that comes out of out of that house, if you will, that place, you know, where those believers gathered and, you know, continue to gather. It's amazing. I mean, it's intimate, beautiful worship, and God's really anointed them to do that. And they have, you know, hub church gatherings all around, you know, the world, really. New York City now has one, and I think they're out of Australia. But their theme for their conference 2014 is No Other Name. No Other Name. And you have all these flashing lights. They have 21 digital screens that played for over an hour. Over an hour now. And they were just, you guys see these pictures. We'll make them available for you. But it's huge, and they just kept promoting it. They say the foot traffic on 42nd Street, and I believe it, is on average 360,000 pedestrians every day.
Wow.
360,000 pedestrians every day. Let me explain to you how you walk in Times Square.
Okay? Fast. Really fast.
Fast. You give the family and everyone a heads up, you know. Let me tell you how to walk in the city. Men on the outside of the sidewalk, closest to the street. Women on the inside, in between the building and them. You got to keep everybody protected.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're the leader of the pack, you actually walk behind everybody so that you can see what's going on. You don't want to be in the front because something happened to them in the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you want to be in the back, and you're watching everything, what's going on, and you're moving fast. You don't stand still, take the pictures. And if you're a tourist, you stick out.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has their cameras, but that most of those people that come to Times Square there, that's all of those folks are tourists from all over, you know, the world. You meet, you know, people from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty, you know, pretty interesting. 42nd Street today is not what it used to be when David Wilkerson was called there, and it was really, really, really bad, you know. It's different today. In fact, Times Square churches.
It's better since he's been there.
Well, yeah, the whole environment's changed. Yeah. You know, it still has a way to go, but it was extremely just, I mean, run. You couldn't go there. You didn't want to go there during the day, much less at night. What I mean? But now if they made it as kind of some sort of an attraction, and they've put a whole ton of money there, but they're making the name of Jesus famous, and they're promoting their conference, and they're promoting. That's a whole theme. And that's what we need to get back to. I mean, there's so many things that people want to do a conference about and talk about and share about, but it's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. There is no other name. The only name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that matters. And so it would do us all well, and the church at large at well, to let the main thing be the main thing. And that's lifting Jesus high. Mm-hmm. You know, so many times people can get distracted and talk about, you know, everything else but the main thing. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought we gathered here for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You said this was an evangelistic meeting, but I didn't even hear salvation. You know, like, did you give it an opportunity for people to meet the Lord? Mm-hmm. And when we get back to what we're supposed to be about, you know, you keep talking about Jesus. Well, there is nothing else to talk about but him. Amen. How can we love him? How can we serve him? How can we do what he's called us to do? How can we glorify him? In all centers and all revolves around him. You know, Philippians 2:9 says this: therefore, God exalted him, speaking of Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name, no other name, gave him the name that is above every name. That at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is boss, he is master, he is ruler, he is king, he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, let me tell you something. It's all about him and lifting his name high and glorifying him. It's something about that name, Pat. You could say any other name. You could say any other name, but as soon as you start mentioning that name, Steve, Jesus.
They'll change the atmosphere of a room.
Change the atmosphere of the room.
Oh, yeah.
They'll put an FCC sign, fine on that thing in a minute. And it's like, what? All we said was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll jump back and you say it again. Jesus.
Because that's what you find out real quick who we're talking about. You can say God all day long.
That's right.
You say Jesus.
That's
We just brought some clarity into the conversation.
We got to bring some clarity. I know you said God and God. Let me tell you who God is to me.
Amen.
He's Jesus. And it's, you know, hey, be counted. Romans 1:16, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Romans 1:16, because, hey, if you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we need more believers that are not and are willing to you know, be upfront about who they are and who they believe in and not be concerned about it. Think about that county,
county commissioner?
County commissioner, right, yeah. I think in Maryland, who said, hey, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. I don't know what these other guys are going
to
do. She's bold. I'm going to go to jail for it.
Beautiful.
You know, I don't know what these guys are going to do, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do. And that really is what it all boils down to. Because we're talking to the church, it always boils down to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, we're believing for a great outpouring. We're believing for a great awakening to hit the church, to just the downpouring, just to come upon us and the move of God to a fresh visitation, you know, and not just a visitation, but a habitation, a place where God can rest and just be and move and do what he wants to do. But hey, instead of thinking about the church in you know, en masse, individually, you know, God comes upon us en masse, but he comes upon us individually. It's revival for your own heart, you know, and when two or three of us have revival in our own hearts, or four or five of us, and say, hey, guess what? There's 20, 30 of us that are having personal revival in our heart. And it's always about, what are you going to do at your workplace? What are you going to do at your school? What are you going to do in your local community and on your business? You know, are you a Christian business owner but refuse to bring up the name of Jesus, or don't even want to have a fish sign on your building? Yeah. Maybe you don't have a fish in your heart, you know? And it's important, more so in the days that we're living in, because of the persecution, which we're going to be talking about hopefully in today's program. Remember, we're four programs back to back. So you want to tune in, always VFNTV.com. Share with your friend. Of course, visit our Facebook page. And continue to share the links as you're doing and the posts. But it's always about that. It's always about what are you going to do with King Jesus? And are you going to be ashamed? And are you going to, you know, step up? Because right now the persecution that's has come upon the church, the Jews and the Christians, and what is about to come is going to accelerate. And so, hey, you let it be known now. Let it be known now. You ever been in one of those situations where you're like, hey, I need my friends. I need to know right now. Are you in? You need to draw the line, you know, draw the sand in line in the sand right now.
Right.
I need to know, are you with me or you're not? You know, and make your case known. Are you with the Lord or not? You got to know, because there's going to come a time where the testing for that's going to come upon your life, and you're going to have to make that decision. Hey, I'm either going to be for him publicly, or you're going to do a very sad thing and you're going to deny him publicly. And listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? And if there's a stigma associated with the name of Jesus, then wear it proudly. Wear it proudly, because he wore every stigma for you. He wasn't ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a public school censor the promotion of Christian events? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Well, my question is, if it's okay for students to post on the bulletin board there in the schools notices for the church youth group activities or plays and skits and events. My daughter's a senior at a public high school in Kirkland, Washington.
Well, let me tell you what the rule is on that. And if they allow community announcements, which a lot of them do, to take place in the schools, on the community bulletin board, and they'll have usually a school, and they'll talk about what's happening off campus, then it's perfectly fine to have a depiction or an advertisement for a youth event at the school, a concert, an event like this, without any problem. The difficulty is, when you have this kind of situation, to make sure that it's open for community use.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Steve and Pat. And before we went to break, we were talking about making the name of Jesus famous, and Hillsong. They're putting Jesus all over the bill. 21 digital billboards in Times Square, 360 pedestrians crossing every day. And we're talking...
360,000.
Did I say just 360,000? Thank you. I'm sorry. 1,000. I mean, that's bigger than some entire counties, and they just passed through there in a day. But we're talking about lifting the name of Jesus high, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And if you're not willing to associate with him, there's not much luck for you. I mean, there really isn't. If you know, there's a lot of people that you could be separated from and a lot of things, and you know what I'm saying? But one person that you do not want to separate yourself from or your association with is Jesus.
That's right.
You know him, walk with him, live for him publicly and boldly. And if listen to me, if understand this, that if you're not walking publicly and openly about Jesus, that is a telltale sign that something has to come up in your life. You know, you need to find out, hey, are you in and out of the faith? I love what the Bible says. Hey, examine yourself. Examine ourselves to see if we're still in the faith. Know where you're at in God. And one way is, where are you publicly for the Lord? I know, Steve, that you, God's just stirring some things in your heart regarding suffering and persecution. Talk with us and share a little bit about what God's saying to you about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, the last few days, almost in the last 2 weeks, God's just really been kind of just dropping in my spirit and just really beginning me to just kind of soak on him. And, you know, we've talked a lot about a lot of the things that's happening on in the world right now that you really don't hear what's going on in America. And you know, we've talked about Egypt recently. We've talked about, you know, Ukraine, and just there's so much persecution of people that are willing to stand up for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that too much in America. You don't see that, not the fact that people aren't willing to stand up, but the fact that there's people literally being persecuted, literally going through sufferings, literally going through beatings for simply carrying a Bible.
Right.
And it really just got me just to thinking about that, because I know personally, I remember, actually this is one of the things that God was reminding me about. Pat and I were working together, and we were up in the attic or something. And
which time?
Oh, goodness. The old fights in the attic. Just... heat and insulation. And
ouch, itchy scratch.
I think the insulation won.
And heat.
But what really just got my attention was I was reaching up in like the corner of something along a 2x4, and a sliver went underneath my nail.
Sliver of wood?
A sliver of wood went underneath my nail, and I just screamed. But immediately...
Was there a roach up there too, or
there was probably something, or maybe a rat or something. But it just got me to thinking. It's just like, God, I'm just so weak in that area to think it. But it's just like the Holy Spirit just immediately reminded me of just like how much pain the church is going through right now across the world for the cause of Christ.
Mm.
And I got a sliver underneath my fingernail, and I'm like, oh, I need a Band-Aid. Oh. Just like, I need to go outside. But it just really convicted me,
right,
how much I neglect thinking about the persecuted church, praying for the persecuted church. And I just really just started praying about it and just seeking the Lord. I was like, God, give me your heart for this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at Paul, and it really just totally changed my paradigm of, he had a perspective of suffering that it totally changes the paradigm of how we look at suffering. He looked at it as a joy. I mean, he embraced it. He welcomed it like we would welcome a long-lost relative with open arms, and he embraced it. I mean, he even talks about it in Philippians, that he says that, oh, that I would know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am not there. I am so far removed from that. And it's really caused me to really want to begin to move in that area, to really want to say, okay, God, show me what that's like. Show me what that is. And he really started to open up in the fact that when you look at Jesus was crucified, and the religious people just came after him, and they came after him. But the thing about it, though, is the religious people were focused on the horizontal. They were focused on the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus even says is that, you know, I'm going to send you the gift. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He talks about his counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And he came with power, and he talks about it in Acts, and Acts chapter 2. But it's like, if Jesus would not have left, he would not have been able to send the gift, to send it with power. And it's like, because Jesus was willing to allow his flesh, because Jesus didn't live for the horizontal, he lived in that constant perspective of who his Father was in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just caught me up in knowing the fact of just like, if we would allow, I mean, think about like an onion. The outer layer gets removed, and it's like, you ever like been cutting an onion? The outside doesn't get you. But as soon as you cut into it, you just start crying. And the inside is that's what comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we're spirits. We're spirits that have bodies. So it's like, if we allow our flesh to just be submitted to what God wants to do, our spirits just, it's like, we're going to grow in power. And we're going to move in that boldness and that great advancement and exploits for the kingdom. And it just really got me thinking. And I was just in Philippians, and again, I'm like, it is just knocking me on my butt in my perspective of Paul's.
It's a fresh perspective there. Okay.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just really rattling me, because what Paul says, he says, and this is in 1 Philippians, he says, now I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't look at it that way. We look at it as the fact that, hey, I'm going to court. You know, I mean, I think about like when our AC goes out or we get a flat tire, how many times I've had car trouble, and immediately I'm complaining.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, the thing about that, one of the biggest problems that the church is facing in America today is the fact that we've taken the blessing of the Lord for granted, that we live in the most blessed land in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And today everything's about convenience, comfort, luxury. We're not even celebrating the fact that we have AC. And I think some statistics that we shared not some time ago from the Heritage Foundation said, like in the 70s, that a very few percentage of homes actually had air conditioning in their homes. This was in the 70s. And how many people today have air conditioning in their home for comfort and just take it for granted, just turn on the AC?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that, you know, we have so integrated the gospel with this Western mindset, this Western thinking in America, that we don't even understand comfort. We don't understand anything about suffering. We think it's supposed to be just, hey, hunky dory, and receiving Jesus into our life is just about making our life better. You know, suffering, what is that? What is that? I accepted Jesus for an upgrade, one would say. It's like, hey, this is not what this is about.
It's supposed to be better now.
Yeah, this is not what this is about.
Yeah.
I mean, it will be better in different ways, but not maybe better for your flesh. And right now, the church at large is looking for sugar-coated message, sugar-coated gospel, just anything that's pleasing to the flesh, but not anything that's going to deny the flesh. And so when the persecution comes that you're talking about, Steve, you know, they're not crying out like Paul. Hey, hey, so I can learn, you know, to walk with Jesus in the fellowship of his suffering. No, they're looking at suffering as a bad thing.
Yeah, and that's what's really caused me to just really kind of dive into this, because, you know, Paul even says, is this like, what happened to me really has actually advanced the gospel. And he says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously, more fearlessly. And it's like, that's what really has just been encouraging my faith. It's just like, we get so caught up in like, God, I want to see what Paul saw. And it's like, okay, if we want to see what he saw, we got to go through what he did. You know?
Amazing. You know, we're talking about the sufferings of Christ. It's important for us to walk like Jesus walked.
Mm.
Look at what others have done and gone before us and to understand, wait a minute, in what I am living in Christianity, this is reflective of what is actually in the Bible? Or is this something different? Have they changed it? We talked in the previous program about bait and switch. Have I been into a bait and switch? Continue this conversation. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand, it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or fall. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God.
Mm.
He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them, because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian television network audience all around who is viewing us, and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me today in the studio is producer Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kolaszewski.
Hello, hello.
Hello, gentlemen. You know, in the previous program, we were talking about suffering for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a deeper understanding and seeking just, God, how can we walk with you in this place of suffering? You know, we live in such a blessed land. many of us in America have no grid, no true understanding of what that actual word suffering. Mm-hmm. I've decided a long time ago that I could never use my name and the word suffering in the same sentence when I've seen so much of the hardship of what's happening to people all around the world and what is happening to Christians in particular in places like North Korea, places like Egypt, places like Iran, where Pastor Saeed Abedini is still in prison for just sharing Jesus. And the cost that he's paying with his life, I mean, all he had to do was deny him, and he refused to deny him. I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. You know, but you have Christians that have, that in China, Pat, that have lost their families. One minister that I heard about, he actually spent half of his life, half of his entire life, in number of years in prison for being, you know, for sharing the gospel, then he's been alive. You know, half of his adult life has just been spent in prison.
Wow.
And, you know, they're persecuted, and they continue to go right back and continue to share the gospel and continue to preach. And it's just amazing. And that should be something that should sound an alarm to all of us, and especially for those that don't know God. What is it about this Jesus? In a previous program, we were talking about how there is no other name, but what is it about Jesus that causes such allegiance, such commitment, such loyalty? His love compels us to understand that I am united with him forever. What part don't you get?
Right.
You know, that there's nothing that's going to separate me from him. And that's the mindset of a lot of our brothers and sisters that are in these persecuted countries, you know, but that's not necessarily the mindset that is taking place here in America. We would define suffering as something far different. Like, you know, we would say warm water with our meal, that's suffering.
Oh, yeah, that'd be horrific. You know?
The line of the DMV.
Suffering. You know, we would say, you know, 78 degrees in our home in the middle of summer is suffering.
Yeah.
You know, that's not suffering. Traffic on the way from home and working two jobs or whatever, that's suffering. And it's like, come on, we're not suffering. You know, we're not suffering. When you know that someone says, if you say Jesus and you preach him, we're going to come back and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That's suffering.
Right.
I think about one gentleman in, I believe it was in Argentina, that were doing these prayer meetings. Steve, huge prayer meetings in these in these stadiums. And some of the drug lords came up to him and said, listen, if you continue doing this, we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to continue doing this. And guess what? They killed him. They killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he became martyred. And a lot of times you see Jesus sitting at the right throne of the Father. But it's interesting that in the book of Acts, where Stephen was being stoned, when he looked up and saw a vision of heaven, he saw Jesus standing.
Mm.
Let me tell you, Jesus is standing with you when you are standing with him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And there's no greater place.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that so many people are trying to save face, reputation. They're trying to keep their comfort. They're trying to do all these different things in America while they're denying Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to keep him around as long as he doesn't mess things up for me.
Right.
But as soon as he starts messing things up for me, I open up my shirt a little bit and tuck the cross back in the shirt. I don't wear it out, you know.
Take
my armband off. My Bible's no longer on my desk. You know, this is not cool anymore.
Mm-mm.
This is going to mess up my income, the favor of my community, my position on the board. It was like, really?
Mm-hmm. And what's so important about that minister who was willing to stand up for Christ amidst those drug lords threatening him? Because of what had happened and because of his steadfastness, God's power moved so mightily upon that community.
Yes.
And a spirit of unity came upon the church in that area. And there was so much repentance, and the Spirit of God just moved powerfully.
Yeah.
Because one man was willing to stand unashamedly for Jesus.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that's the
perspective. And it's just like, help us get to that.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, it's really changing that pursuit of it, because like if we don't connect those dots, we're going to miss out on that gift. We're going to miss out on that powerful advancing of the gospel.
That's right. The Jesus said, for the joy set before him, The Word of God says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. But that joy has been robbed from many believers, that they're not willing to endure anything. Mm-hmm. They don't see the joy in walking with God. They don't see the joy in being associated with him, if you will, only for the benefits. But there's coming a time, and Steve was talking about this, there's coming a time, and we've been certainly sharing it on BFN TV and the Daily BFN radio program, that persecution of Christians is definitely on the increase. I mean, it's happening now, but it's going to be happening even more in Western civilization here in our country. And so oftentimes the Chinese believers are not praying for more of our prosperity.
Yeah.
They're praying that persecution will come upon us.
Humility.
And humility, so that we would grow in our relationship with God.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, that is the huge awareness. Because like I said, Paul was even saying that and reminding them that actually what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel.
Mm.
And what the powerful thing is, though, is like I said, when he's talking about it in Philippians,
That's interesting. Because in Philippians, it does talk about what he has suffered and what he is going through. I know you're getting that here. Let me know when you get it. But when we have perspective on that, when we understand that, hey, we can walk with God in this. His power is made perfect in weakness. The problem is that American Christians don't want to embrace weakness. They don't want to embrace humility. They don't want to embrace difficult times for the cause of Christ. Mm. They don't want to experience difficult times at all.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If we're looking at persecution and we're fearful of it, it's because we're focused on the flesh. We're focused on the horizontal.
Wrong focus.
And that's the huge thing. It's just like if I'm looking at it in any way and I'm apprehensive of it, and it's just like, oh, well, I've got the wrong perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're understanding the fact that Jesus was so willing to take upon that affliction for us because he knew it was love, because he knew it was if I walk faithfully through this, they can be with me for eternity. They can be with me forever. And it's just like, that's that love. And we understand the fellowship of who we're doing it for, that we're walking with Jesus because he walked through it.
Yeah.
So we want to do it for him, to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like that connection that has really just absolutely changed. You know, Paul continues to write in Thessalonians, and he's talking about it. And he's just like, and he's basically encouraging the church in Thessalonians. And he's like, you know, we know, brothers, loved by God, that he's chosen you because our gospel came to you, not just with words, but it came to you with power.
Right.
Through the Holy Spirit. And he says it came with deep conviction. And he says that you became imitators of us in the Lord in spite of severe suffering. And you welcomed the message. And this is what has really taken it even deeper. And he says, and so you became a model for all the believers. And it's like we're talking about power in the church. We're talking about, you know, that deep conviction. It's like when the word is shared, is do we feel that conviction in our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
But it also comes with the fact that are we willing to continue to minister the gospel amidst severe suffering? Not just suffering, not just amidst those little slivers in the fingernails,
yeah,
but amidst chaos,
right,
and people burning down buildings like we're seeing in Egypt. That's what God wants to do. And it's just like, that's the model. When you look at the book of Acts, how so much was done because Paul was willing to go to jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got put in the chains and they're in jail singing songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing I was saying about, you know, American Christians, some American Christians, I said all, but some Christians are here in America are not, don't understand that. You know, there's many that understand and are rising and becoming aware of the cause of Christ and the cost of Christ.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not every Christian in America, because people are paying the price. Some are not, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that has so been that exciting moment, is because when we really look to that perspective of suffering for Christ as joy, like Paul did,
mm-hmm,
we can be put in chains. We can be whipped for him.
Right.
Granted, I really don't understand it even as I say that, but you understand, like, just like, oh my goodness, that I would even be considered worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And that's that perspective of just like, oh my goodness, like, you allow me to have that fellowship of suffering with you, for you.
Right. You know, and we're not earning anything by suffering. There's, you know, it's not like this, you know, just sign me up for suffering so I get more points. This is not what we're talking about.
That's some badge.
Yeah, and we're not, you know, saying we just want to suffer for the sake of suffering. We're just saying that we want the grace of God to be able to stand with him, and standing with him 100% means that suffering is part of it, and a lot of times it does, then so be it. But we are going to be united with him, and we're going to stand with him, and we're going to walk with him in the face of no matter what comes our way. And that's the resolution that you have to have, the resolve you want to have in your own life, that you know, I'm willing to stand with God, with Jesus, his son, you know, his name, and no matter what is waged against me or how unpopular that may be in society, believe me, it's very popular in heaven. And you got to determine, you know, which life are you living for? If you're living for this life, then suffering for Christ makes no sense at all. But if you're living for the life to come, if you're living for Jesus, if you surrendered your life to him and you're living it for him, then it makes sense to you. Because your life is not your own. When you understand what happened at salvation, that you were purchased. You were purchased with a price, the blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed. You've been saved. When we understand and have a full revelation of that, the enormous amount of gratitude and appreciation that wells up on the inside of us is, Lord, here's my life. What do you want me? Whatever. Here. If I can do anything for you.
Amen.
If I can do, here it is. And we pray that revelation will not only increase more in our own hearts, but in every believer on the face of this earth, and especially to what we're going to be facing here in our own country.
Right.
You know, we shared in a previous segment about the persecution that was happening in Egypt by radical Islam. And, you know, they were empowered by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was empowered by this administration in Egypt. And within a short amount of time, when they rose to power in Egypt and replaced Mubarak as a president, Christians suffered greatly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's Christians that are suffering greatly right now in Syria. They're being absolutely persecuted. And we shared about how they just came in, they burned up their places of worship. You know, they were shooting people. They dug up bodies and drug them. And, you know,
horrific.
Evil is evil.
Yeah.
And don't mistake one second that the enemy hates your guts if you receive Jesus Christ. He just hates your guts, period. Mm-hmm. Even more so if you receive Jesus into your life. And he would try to do everything he can to just tarnish you and come against you. But let me tell you something. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And if you stay united with God, believe me, when you stand with God, he'll stand with you.
Amen.
And he'll give you the grace to endure and to live, and not just to survive, but to thrive in him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't just go, you know, no, that's already been done. That's a finished work on the cross of Christ. And they said, but now, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great what? Boldness. These guys are praying for boldness. Ain't that something? They didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray for a ticket out. They didn't pray for all this, pray against people. I mean, it's amazing when you hear the church like, that's your brother. You can't pray like that to their father against them. That he ain't gonna like that. You can't pray against the church, you know. You know, like Lecrae says, you gotta love her. She's the church, right? She's got her issues and stuff, but you can't come against the body of Christ. Saul found that out on the way to Damascus, didn't he? He found that going, and he says, why are you hurting me? Why are you coming against me? And so And so he says, don't consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through your name, the name of your holy servant, Jesus. I mean, what they're saying is like, God, crank it up a notch. Isn't that awesome? It's like, yes, I love that. It's like, where'd everybody go? They ran. No, this is the time to get in and say, this is it. Crank it up, God. This is the time to fight spiritually. Fight. Preach in the name of Jesus. When you get a reaction like that, it means whatever you preach, preach it again. It's good. Don't put it away. Don't put that sermon away. You did good. You did good. And so that kind of prayer, how does God respond to that kind of prayer? Does he go, oh, they got put in prison and Ananias is treating them bad too? And I mean, that's not what he did. They went and prayed like this, and God's response was, why aren't you talking about that? He says, listen, he says, after they prayed this, the place they were meeting was shaken. I mean, think about it, just shaken. I mean, think about it, the place is shaken. I love that. We got to get ready to preach on shaking ground. Don't start running. Fight on the ground. I can literally, I was in the Navy, and you're on a ship. I mean, the ship's doing all this, but you still got to do what you got to do. In the military, you got to do your job. You can't like, oh, I'm a little sick. You know, it's rocking. I'll wait till it stops rocking. No, that's time. You still have to do your job. So after they had prayed this, where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God boldly. It was boldness they got from God. It was boldness. And I think about it, it's like, you know, people saying I'm filled with the Spirit of God. It's like, I don't see any boldness in your life. If you ever filled with the Spirit of God, you would be bold. You wouldn't be running and cowarding out. You wouldn't be looking for a therapist because somebody treated you unjustly. You're thinking, this is what I was called to do, to suffer for doing good but be told I was wrong. And you think about it. The word power that's used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, comes from the word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. We need some dynamite Christians to begin to say, you know what? Heaven and hell, they come against me, but guess what? Guess what? For my second heaven, I'm going to preach boldly. I'm going to preach like I never preached before.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton and Steve Kalaszewski, and we were just talking about suffering for Christ. And for the joy set before us, we can endure our personal cross, if you will,
amen,
for God. And the joy is enjoying the fellowship of his company, mm-hmm, right? The joy is enjoying being united with him and mm-hmm living for him and walking with him, and how we will spend eternity mm-hmm with him. Let me tell you something. Focus your eyes on Jesus, not on this life, but the life to come. Mm-hmm. And where you will spend eternity and how you will spend eternity. And you can go through this life, which is just a vapor.
Oh, yeah.
With purpose and intentionality. And you can live a life with no regrets.
Well, it helps, too, as far as like having that accurate perspective of heaven. When you understand if you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life and you know the fact that of eternal resting place with heaven.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These minor setbacks of this life, of this vapor, it just doesn't compare.
Right,
because
right,
like you're, when you hear that, is like Jesus endured the cross for the joy set beyond the cross.
That's right.
He understood that he was going back to have that fellowship with his Father. He says, Lord, give them that glory that I had with you so that I could be with you, that they could be with us in the fullness.
Mm.
He talks about that in John 17. Yeah. It's just like he understood that the cross was just, okay, I just got to get through this so that I can be with them, so I can be with you.
It was a price to pay.
Exactly. But we talked about it. We talked about heaven, and it's just like that perspective, it makes sense.
Changes everything, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. Well, we're excited. Make sure you catch that segment in its entirety. Go to VFNTV.com. Of course, go to The Torch. But you know, here we've been seeing all of these biblical movies that are now coming to the big screen, Pat. I mean, I know, help me out. I know that one, Noah, just came out, but some folks had some issues with that because they say it wasn't biblically accurate. I didn't see it. Heaven is for real. But Heaven is for Real. There was another one.
Yeah, there was.
God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead. He's alive.
Powerful.
Yeah.
You saw that, didn't
you? Oh, yeah. That's powerful.
You highly recommend it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, take your kids, take your whole family.
Wow, wonderful. Well, there's a new movie, and it's called David and Goliath. David and Goliath. It's going to be awesome. And the subtitle is Against All Odds, One Man Will Rise. Against All Odds. And what's interesting about this film, the director, who's Tim Che, he's interviewed by the Christian Post, and he says that basically this is going to be a big-budget film, and that right from the onset he says, hey, listen, this is going to be biblically correct in every way. And that's so important because right now Hollywood's, you know, they're saying, hey, we're going to start making films for Christians and we're going to start doing all this type of stuff. It's like, hey, that's great. Well, just keep it biblically accurate. Okay, don't yeah. co-opt the, you know, the Bible and start making your own stuff in there.
The script was already written.
Yeah, the script was already written. I like that. So he says that in order to do this, you know, really well, he's the film is being shot in Morocco, and it has a $50 million budget.
Wow.
And it's scheduled to be released in 2015. So this is, you know, they're kind of raising their game here, if you will. And the movie is just based upon the battle with David and Goliath. That's the whole, you know, and what led up to that. But he talks about, in his interview, they ask him, can you share a little bit about your faith background and if it inspired the decision to get involved with David and Goliath movie? This is what he says. He says, yes, good question. I was a former atheist who found Christ in a hotel room after reading a Gideon's Bible in Manila.
Wow.
Wow.
How about that?
How awesome is that?
That's cool.
Love them Gideon's Bibles, right? He says, I never looked back after that. He says, our production company has had had this film, David and Goliath, in the works for 11 years. And says he realized that in order to do it justice and to film this on a grand scale like Lawrence of Arabia, he says he's going to have to, you know, go there and put everything he has into it and really take his time to develop it. But it's interesting, his background, you know, that so encourages me because you always wonder, you know, will this happen? Can somebody come to the Lord that I've been witnessing to for a while? Mm-hmm. God has a way of reaching his people. And I've heard several testimonies of people that just come to God just by reading the Word of God, and God just spoke to them. They gave their life right then and there. I heard of one testimony of a man gave his life to the Lord reading the Bible. He read the Bible the entire night without he didn't go to sleep.
Oh wow!
And just kept reading and reading and reading. It's beautiful, and that's the pleasure that we have. The interviewer continues to say, does the script present the entire story of David, or just, you know, basically the Goliath, you know, the fight between David and Goliath? And says, yes, it's basically about that. But he goes on to say something about creativity and balance. And I think this is important because we need to understand this as Christians, the big picture here. He says, you know, how do you combine the creativity to produce, you know, this entertainment for the mass audience with staying faithful to the Bible, you know, all this type of stuff. And this is the director's response. He says the mass audience is used to the best acting, the best visual effects, and the best epic filmmaking. To me, filmmaking is like playing professional basketball. It takes years of training and then ultimately talent to do it. And to get super talented filmmakers who passionately love the Lord is a rare commodity. And to get super talented filmmakers, she says that, who love the Lord and can raise millions of dollars, he says, is next to impossible. And he says that is why Christian films are looked down upon. He says, however, even if a small cheesy film can just win one person to Christ, then let's be careful not to mock it and be so cruel.
Wow.
And that's so true. Listen, so many times, you know, we want to think about all this glitz. And listen, they're preaching Jesus. We want to support anyone who's doing anything for God. And if it doesn't have the best acting, hey, it's okay. Maybe you may want to be a thespian yourself and you put your head in the ring. But we need to support those films that glorify God, that are biblically accurate. This is a great way to reach people and a great way to have great entertainment for the family, because it's the Bible,
Amen.
You know, in living color. This is our opportunity to support that entertainment mountain. Do what you can. Whenever these movies come into the, you know, to your city and they're played in the movie theater, go visit them, support them, spend your money, invite a friend. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read His Word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. You know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors, and that maybe you have inside of you, Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network, or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what He wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom. And those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this on to this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.